Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. I'm Chris Kerner. It continues to be the 9th of August, 2005. And listen carefully to this. The local Agenda 21, LA 21 campaign promotes a participatory, long-term strategic planning process that helps municipalities identify local sustainability priorities and implement long-term action plans. It supports good local governance and mobilizes local governments and their citizens to undertake such multi-stakeholder process. The LA 21 process leads to the preparation and implementation of a long-term strategic plan that addresses priority local sustainable development concerns. Oh my. The development of Local Agenda 21 and its subsequent endorsement at the Rio Earth Summit as Chapter 28 of Agenda 21. A 2002 survey found that more than, get this listeners, 6,400 local governments in 113 countries have become involved in LA 21 activities over a 10-year period. Through LA 21, local governments are establishing stakeholder groups, developing local sustainability plans, and acting on these plans, heaving sustainability. This was especially visible, and there's more to this, but that's enough to get you understanding of the big picture in place. If not, if we don't cooperate, if the next terrorist action implements certain directions, they keep upgrading the military in collusion with the Pentagon, I would presume. They keep upgrading the civilian inmate labor program. And we have Army Regulation 210-35. Effective on February 14th of 2005, listeners, civilian inmate labor program. And they continue with these directions, listeners, to make plans for us in the event of a national emergency when it's set off. And the purpose, they say, in one section, Chapter 1 Introduction, this regulation provides Army policy and guidance for establishing civilian inmate labor programs and civilian prison camps on Army installations. What do you think BRAC is all about, listeners? BRAC, Base Realignment and Closure. To establish civilian inmate labor programs and civilian prison camps on Army installations, listeners. Sources of civilian inmate labor are limited to on- and off-post federal corrections facilities. State and or local correction facilities operating from on-post and prison camps pursuant to leases under Section 2667, Title 10 of the United States Code. Yeah, 10 U.S.C. 2667. And off-post site correction facilities participating in the demonstration project authorized under Section 1065, Public Law 103-337. Otherwise, state and or local inmate labor from off-post correction facilities is correctly excluded from this program. So what is base realignment and closure all about? Well, in some of these realignments, they're setting up prison camps for civilians. And this is the point. This is the problem. William Papp sued the federal government in 1976 for the concentration camp program. No one knows what happened to William Papp. But Donald Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense back then as well, during the Ford administration. Once again, this is Army Regulation 210-35, Civilian Inmate Labor Program, people. It's 34 pages long. It's a behemoth of directions and policy directions with the U.S. Army behind the scenes. Upon our return, we will bring Darren Weeks up, the man who transformed American Exposé, the website, into what it is now. Darren Weeks will be back with us, listeners. 800-313-9443 is the number to call. Stay with us. and welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. It's my privilege to introduce to you Darren Weeks, the webmaster for AmericanExpose.com. Darren, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here with you, Chris.
Yeah, thank you so much. And Darren, certainly you're a young man, and you've been engineered into certain directions to help. It started with Jackie Petrou's website, and then it graduated into your website, and then it carried over into my website and other websites. That you're driven and directed to do the right thing, and certainly, what is it that got you awake originally, Darren?
Well, I appreciate that, and I really believe that it's the guiding of the Lord, because those of us who are awake to these issues understand the importance of doing what we do. And my awakening began, I work in television, I work in the broadcast media, and for many years I realized that the media had a bias, but I didn't understand the degree to which the media tells lies on every single newscast on every single day. I mean, literally, we are bombarded with lies on a daily basis, and it's a part of the conditioning of the controllers and mind control that goes on in America. But my awakening began, ironically, back with the original Republic Radio International, John Stettmiller's original network, I guess.
Right.
So that's certainly a feather in his cap. If it wasn't for the old Republic Radio International, I probably wouldn't be here today, and there probably wouldn't even be a sweetliberty.org, because I was going through a satellite magazine as a part of my job. I work in television, as I said. And I noticed in there that there were satellite channels on the birds, the various birds that have radio on them. And I thought, well, shoot, I'll check this out, you know. So I started dialing around, and I stumbled across Republic Radio International. Hmm. And Jackie Petrou had a broadcast on there, and John Stettmiller at the time, I think he was hosting with Mark Kornke. And Jeff Bennett, there were so many others. And I got quite an education during that period of time. And that was, I guess, around the mid-90s.
97, 98?
Somewhere in there. I'm not quite sure what the year was.
Mm-hmm.
But it continued to evolve over there, and I began to do my own research. And with the advent of the Internet, research certainly became very simple for everyone to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so what you see today is just about everything that happens is under the guise of the Hegelian dialectic?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Hegelian dialectic, as I often say, is the means by which all change happens today. This is the method of mind control that the controllers use to manipulate populations of people into accepting whatever change that they wouldn't ordinarily accept. And September 11th is certainly a very pure example of that, as anybody who's done any research at all on September 11th understands that that whole thing was a U.S. government, shadow government operation.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, here we are all over the world. Our military is in over 130 countries around the world. And the controllers are using our military as the United Nations global police cop, policing countries that won't go along with the plan. And so that's what we see. All of this was laid out in the Project for a New American Century report, which was written a full year before September 11th. And they're following the plan. They plan their work, and they work their plan, and that's what's going on today.
And Roadmap for National Security was January of 2001, which brought about the formation of Homeland Security. So here we are with what we have, a totalitarian government in place to implement these directions under the guise of terrorism. Now, we talk about weather modification. Darren talks about weather modification. We had this tsunami at the end of last year. Ironically, Eugene Bingham has an article entitled Tsunami Bomb NZ's Devastating War Secret, out of the New Zealand Herald. Top secret wartime experiments were conducted off the coast of Auckland to perfect a tidal wave bomb, declassified files reveal. At Auckland University, Professor Secondend in the Army set off a series of underwater explosions, triggering mini tidal waves at Wangabara.
Wangaparara, I think it is.
Wangaparara. In 1944 and 1945, listeners, Professor Thomas Leach's work was considered so significant that the United States defense chiefs said that if the project had been completed before the end of the war, it could have played a role as active as that of the atomic bomb. So what did Darren find here in his research, listeners? That a tsunami bomb was built in 1944-45, and what did we get? A major tsunami at the end of the year, which brought out much precedence to sustainable development. Correct, Darren?
Absolutely. It's important to note, we have no way of knowing whether or not the Asian tsunami of December 26th of last year was actually
set off
a created crisis, right. However, we do know that they had the experimentation going on in 1944 and 1945, and that they've had over a half a century to perfect the technology. And what do we have going on today in Asia? They're building sustainable communities, according to CBS News. So it's a classic case of the Hegelian dialectic, where people, they had to clear the landscape. They had to wipe those people out in order to rebuild and rebuild it their way.
Yeah, no more building on the coast, apparently, correct?
Right. There are buffer zones now being put into place. That's according to another media source that I read.
Mm-hmm.
Population, see, all of this goes back to Agenda 21, as you were talking with Joan Vion in the last hour. Agenda 21, Chapter 7, deals with promoting sustainable human settlement development. And they say in here that the overall human settlement objective is to improve the social, economic, and environmental quality of human settlements and the living and working environments of all people, in particular the urban and rural poor. And there you have the socialism coming in. Such improvement should be based on technical cooperation activities, partnerships among the public, private, and community sectors, and participation in the decision-making process by community groups and special interest groups such as women, indigenous people, the elderly, and the disabled. These approaches should form the core principles of national settlement strategies. Now, they lay out some of these goals, the program areas included in this chapter. They are promoting adequate shelter for all, and once again you have the socialism, because the United States is being spent broke, partly because we are rebuilding other countries, the developing countries as they call them, around the world. We have to build their infrastructure, and they call it capacity building. Providing adequate shelter for all. Improving human settlement management. Now, one thing I want to point out to your listeners, Chris, is whenever you see the word management, you have to substitute it for the word control. To manage is to control. And the word management is used throughout the Agenda 21 document. Improving human settlement management. In other words, managing or controlling where human settlements are and where people live and how they live. Promoting sustainable land use. Sustainable land use. Implying, of course, that what we have today, where people live wherever they want, and, of course, that's not entirely true either, because people don't. There already these restrictions are being put into place. But to some degree, people have the ability of living where they choose to live. And that's not sustainable for these people. Mm-hmm. They say we're screwing it all up. Human beings are the scourge of the earth. Promoting sustainable land use planning and management. Promoting the integrated provision of environmental infrastructure. Water, sanitation, drainage, and solid waste management. Promoting sustainable energy and transport systems in human settlements. I remember reading somewhere where, and I wish I could remember what the source was on this, but these sustainable communities that they're talking about building, everything that you need will be within a five-mile radius for the most part. And for those things that are not, that are outside your radius, they'll have mass transportation systems in place. But for the most part, everything you need on a daily basis will be in a very short, close range where you're normally at, so that you won't need automobiles anymore.
There you have it. Uh-huh.
They say promoting human settlement planning and management in disaster-prone areas. And through climate modification, we're seeing, I believe, these disaster-prone areas, there's more and more of these things going on all the time. Promoting sustainable construction industry activities. Promoting human resource development. And capacity building for human settlement development. So, I mean, it goes on and on and on from there. And that's just a small part of this huge, massive chapter of Agenda 21. And that's just one chapter of a 40-chapter document.
And you're covering Chapter 6, is it?
That's Chapter 7.
Chapter 7, okay. And the one that brought the chill to my spine more than anything else was information for decision-making, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Information for decision-making. That sounds very innocent, information for decision-making, but it's all about totalitarian control and what they're going to do to implement their directions, right, Darren?
Absolutely. They're talking. I just read a media report earlier today where they were talking about putting barcodes, testing out barcodes at the Canadian border. And it's kind of interesting that any border restrictions that they place tend to be at the Canadian border and not at the Mexican border, I've found. It's kind of interesting how terrorism is supposed to be such a threat, and yet we have such a massive influx of people coming through our borders every single day, and that's because of bad policy.
They have to strengthen the role of indigenous people, don't you know that?
Uh-huh.
We'll be back to continue with Darren Weeks, listeners. DarrenWeeks.net is his website, webmaster for AmericanExpose.com. Stay with us. Again, welcome back to the broadcast. The pledge line for RBN listeners, the pledge line to offer your support to this network is 800-724-2719. To order any products off the advertising of the network, 800-724-2719. That's the number, 800-724-2719. If you want to get involved, 800-313-9443. But with your thoughts, connect it to Agenda 21 if you can, because this is a monster. I don't believe the barcodes were in place before 1992. I don't believe any aerial spraying was going on before 1992, the Rio Earth Summit, the Biodiversity Treaty, Agenda 21. Darren, I see here in Chapter 40, while considerable data already exists, on the various sectoral chapters of Agenda 21 indicate more and different types of data need to be collected at the local, provincial, national, and international levels, indicating the status and trends of the planet's ecosystem, natural resource, pollution, and socioeconomic variables. In other words, they want to know everything about everybody on the face of the earth, right?
Absolutely. And they get this done through various channels. I mean, more and more stores, for instance, are keeping track of what their customers are buying. I can think of a particular gas station that I frequent all the time. They have a rewards program that every time you go in there, they expect you to apply for if you don't have a rewards card. And I'm trying to avoid giving away the identity, but I think most people will know if they have these stations in their part of the country what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't know whether it matters. You can just tell.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. You could probably pretty much fill in the blank. Grocery stores use them too, and they're keeping track of everything that you buy. All of this stuff goes into a database for some purpose, and Radio Shack is another example. You can't go there without having your information in their database, and what purpose is this? Well, even if a particular store doesn't choose to share their information with other companies, because that's what the number one thing that they a lot of times will say, well, we don't share our information, this is just for marketing purposes, etc. But if the government agency comes knocking, then they have to share their information. So if you have a database, they will be after it. If you don't have a database, they can't be after it. But information for decision-making, absolutely. It's the elimination of our privacy.
And then there you have it. The situation is most ominous, as Joan talked about the family dependency ratio, and all this that's involved in the situation that we live today is very, very in place. 13 years into implementation, that is the problem.
And most Americans have no idea just how big it is. You know, I know you probably you mentioned that on the previous hour as well. And the reason Chris harps on Agenda 21 all the time, and people, I've heard that people have said that those of us who talk about it too much. But what you have to understand is Agenda 21 is not a pet issue. Different people have their little pet issues if they think, oh, this is important and that's important. But Agenda 21 is at the core of every issue. It is the center of it all. And so to not talk about it is to leave out the most important aspect of it all. This is the United Nations agenda for the 21st century. Now, the World Heritage Treaty, and we have this quote up on the front page of AmericanExpose.com, spelled with a K, or StopAgenda21.com. It'll take you to the same place. The World Heritage Treaty of December 17, 1975, Article 11, Section 4, it says, the committee shall establish, keep up to date, and publish whenever circumstances shall so require, under the title List of World Heritage in Danger, a list of the property appearing in the World Heritage for the conservation of which major operations are necessary and for which assistance has been requested under this convention. This list shall contain an estimate of the cost of such operations. The list may include only such property forming part of the cultural and natural heritage as is threatened by serious and specific dangers. Now, they're going to tell you in a moment what the dangers are. Dangers such as the threat of disappearance caused by accelerated deterioration, large-scale public or private projects. There's your urban sprawl. You evil human beings out there, here's where you're building your houses. Large-scale public or private projects or businesses, or rapid urban or tourist development projects. Destruction caused by changes in the use or ownership of the land. Major alterations due to unknown causes. Now, bear in mind, we're talking about land here that the United Nations is saying these are reasons for us to come in and protect, quote-unquote, the land. Major alterations due to unknown causes. That could just about be anything. Abandonment for any reason whatsoever, the outbreak or the threat of an armed conflict, calamities and cataclysms, serious fires, earthquakes, landslides, volcanic eruptions, changes in water level, floods and tidal waves. The committee may at any time, in case of urgent need, make a new entry in the list of World Heritage in Danger and publicize such entry immediately.
There it is, listeners. Everything can be controlled.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
We're back with Darren Weeks. Keep in mind the pledge number line, 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719. Call in, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. So, Darren, your analysis of the World Heritage Treaty, 17 December 1975, is that you can take any kind of circumstance and turn it into a World Heritage Site.
Absolutely. It goes right back down to the Hegelian dialectic once again. The things that they mention, landslides, serious fires, earthquakes.
Okay, wait a minute. Serious fires. Here we have on our website the Global Fire Monitoring Center, listeners. It's an agency of the United Nations. So what purpose do the elite have in monitoring every fire in the world?
Could, I don't know, perhaps to monitor their progress?
To monitor the progress of moving communities to sustainable communities?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Well, that only makes sense when you know the big picture in place.
When you're familiar with Chapter 7 of Agenda 21.
And there you go.
They say also in here that the outbreak or threat of an armed conflict. Well, that sounds like militaries until you stop to think about what the United Nations feels about global gun control. Does this mean that if we have an armed conflict on our property or if we have guns on our property, that would certainly create the threat of an armed conflict, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it?
Calamities and cataclysms. Earthquakes, we've already mentioned, landslides, which can be caused by weather modification. Cloud seeding is something that's apparently no secret, except most people don't think about it. The media doesn't talk about it. But in the weather modification section, which we have on AmericanExpose.com and SweetLiberty.org, you can go to weather.sweetliberty.org if you want to have the direct link. We have information, a lot of information, actually, on cloud seeding technology.
I'll tell you what, keep your thoughts in place. I think we have a caller.
Okay.
John in Tennessee, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Can you talk to me?
We can barely hear you. Are you in an unfortunate place to talk? Or?
Well, I'm kind of between cells. Is that any better?
That's pretty good.
Okay. Well, what I'm getting, first of all, Chris, thanks for taking my call. Darryl,
sure.
You were talking about information gathering. About 2 weeks ago, I happened to be watching the Research Channel late on a Sunday night. University of Washington professor was on there talking about barcodes and actually using the laser to put a barcode on a fruit without piercing the skin. He said, everything will have a number. Your refrigerator will be a smart unit that will be able to tell when you put the fruit in, when it's going to go bad, it'll give you all this information. And he touted it as being a great improvement. Everything will have a number we can track. Everything. Now, when someone happens to mention the mark of the beast or not being able to buy and sell without receiving the mark, you know, that's thought of as foolishness. But yet, from what he was saying, they would actually be able to track the fruit. Any purchase that you made through the chain, tell where it was, when it got there, where it's going, who bought it, who took it home, and even down to what refrigerator it was at. Interactive museums where you're handed out a little card, and as you go and look at a display, you scan your card.
Oh, I should have told you to park in one spot so we could hear you. We sort of lost you there, John. Okay, he's in his cell phone. He's making a point, Darren, and maybe he'll call back. Maybe he'll connect up again, and we'll make sure he parks his vehicle.
Well, I saw the article. I think he's referring to the tattooed fruit.
Okay, go ahead.
There was an article recently about how they were planning on tattooing fruit with different unique identifiers so it could be tracked from the produce. From the field up to the point where you have it in your home.
From cradle to grave.
Right, basically, yeah. Until it goes down the world toilet, I guess you might say. But at any rate, yeah, these things are going on. Smart refrigerators, you know, they tout the benefits of doing so. In fact, I've even read articles where they talk about how your refrigerator can be attached to the Internet. So that you can actually have your groceries delivered to you someday when they see that you're getting low of milk or low of eggs or whatever, they can just bring your groceries right there in your home, and it makes it all very convenient, very safe, and you know. So the benefits of doing this are always touted, but the problem is. You know, there's a full chapter also in Agenda 21, Chris, as you know, that talks about changing consumption patterns.
Yes.
And having all this information flood out over the Internet is certainly a way that the controllers can know what you're consuming and be able to gather information for decision-making based upon what you're consuming.
There you go.
You have to know what people are consuming in order to know whether you're being effective at changing their consumption patterns.
Yeah, good point. Now, also keep in mind the border problem south of us, Chapter 26, recognizing and strengthening the role of indigenous people and their communities, listeners. It's very, very apparent that Chapter 26 connects to the quote-unquote open border situation. We have Jim in Tennessee, I believe. Jim, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah. Did you guys ever hear the 9 items that Clinton put into the Rio Treaty?
Tell us.
That's part of Agenda 21, you know. Okay, the first objective was to make nature the central organizing principle.
Makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense. To get rid of Christianity, get rid of all religions except for man's religion, which is nature.
And Mother Gaia.
Uh-huh, you got it.
Uh-huh.
Now, to establish a legal regime that will utilize international treaties to control all policies from the international level to the national and local levels.
Yeah.
In other words, world law.
Mm-hmm.
Through treaties. Until they get a central control set up, and then they'll ignore all that. Okay, to make the use of natural resources a cost. Now, that means if you breathe air, you're going to have to pay for it.
Well, they're already charging for water, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're starting to control it, and tighter and tighter and tighter. I've seen all kinds of evidence of that. All right, number 4 is to promote the precautionary principle that scientific evidence is not necessary to implement radical environmental policies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's logic behind that. You know, if something, if global warming is going to occur, and you try to do something after it's occurred, too late. So they want to, you know, promote the precautionary principle, but you don't have to use evidence. Okay, to inventory natural and human resources. And what do they call us now? Human resources?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he had in mind way back then. This is in 92, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
13 years ago.
Yeah. So already, you know, they were saying in 92 to inventory natural and human resources.
And there's where the barcode comes from.
And we are just a thing, not a person.
And keep in mind, the Biometrics Consortium, it's on our website, the Biometric Consortium, is all about how they're going to identify human beings.
Right.
Very interesting choice of words that they use. Inventory.
Inventory, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Natural and human resources, you know.
And what's a resource but something that you use up, and when it no longer holds its usefulness, you throw it away and discard it.
Black's Law says a resource is something owned for production. That's pretty all-encompassing, really. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what happens if you don't produce?
Well, sorry, but there's no place for you in this, you know. Well, look at Canada right now with their health care. You know, if they don't want to do something for you. I had a trucker tell me one time that his sister got sick and she needed a dialysis machine. And they looked her over and said, sorry, you're over 50, you can't use it. So go somewhere else and get it or die.
Wow.
Basically what I told her. Okay. 6 is to make man equal to all other species. And they have certainly done that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Look at up in Oregon, Klamath Falls.
Yes.
Where they made a fish more equal than man because the fish kicked the men out. Okay. 7 is to classify people as the enemy. Now, the people are the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
The astounding success of human feces, its proliferation in numbers, and its scale and intensity of its activities is threatening the future of Earth's life systems. Okay, 8 is to create areas devoid of human presence. And remember that map that Kaufman came up with?
It's on our website.
Aha, there you go. That's exactly what they're talking about.
The biodiversity.
That's what the Wildlands Project is all about as well.
Right. Okay, number 9 was to make nature worship a state religion. Nature worship is a state religion. There again, man's religion, not God's.
Mm-hmm.
No God exists. Now, he sent that with a 175-page document to Congress and then took it down to the Rio Treaty. When he signed the Rio Treaty, this was included. And there are places in Agenda 21 where I've found some of these things.
Good for you.
Maybe, I'd have to go on my computer and look it all up. You know?
Maybe in the future you can condense all that and connect all these dots on a future broadcast. What do you think, Jim?
That'd be a big job. I'm not that smart.
You sound pretty smart to me.
Yeah, you sound pretty smart to me as well, and that's the point. Everybody getting involved in all of this is going to make a big difference. Here I see Dennis's introduction on August 8th, yesterday. Here we see Madeline Kosman wrote, sustainable medicine plus sustainable development equals duty to die. Well, that just fits right into what you're talking about there, Jim.
Absolutely. You know, that word sustainable, I looked it up on the UNICEF website. That's not the Children's Fund, but the UN.
UNESCO.
And sure enough, I found a definition of sustainability. So I went to that site, and sure enough, there's a 50-some page document, huge thing. And right in the first paragraph, it says, well, there really is no definition to sustainability. Even the college professors argue about that. And then it used 50 pages to explain it.
I'll be darned.
Now, how can you explain something in 50 pages that has no meaning?
Well, and apparently you've done a lot of research on your own there, Jim. And the more the merrier, so we need to get in touch with you.
But they use words like this to steer you into an area where they can make anything fit under that word.
Yeah, the definition I keep seeing is the ability for this generation to meet its needs without compromising future generations' ability to meet their needs.
Uh-huh.
Of course, that fits right into Marxism, because from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs.
You got it.
You know, and they'll tell you what your needs are.
And who determines who gets what?
Exactly.
That's the key. There's another thing that I've discovered, and that's a way to explain their money system. And that is fascinating. And anybody can understand it. I've had people get up from a cafe table or something, never met them before in my life, shake my hand and say, thank you. I've always wondered how money works. Thank you for telling me. And I can do it in 3 minutes.
Okay, go ahead.
You want?
Let's have it.
You've got to compare. Well, first of all, our present money says it's a Federal Reserve note. There's the key word, note. So you look up Black's Law, a note requires four things. Somebody has to pay somebody else. There's two things. By a certain due date, a certain amount. And those four things must be on there, or it will not pass muster as a legal note. So you look at our Federal Reserve, compare it to our last money, which was the silver certificate. Okay, the silver certificate, turns out, is a note from the banker to you. And the Federal Reserve note is a note from you to the banker. They've reversed the role of money. How'd they do that? Well, the silver certificate says, this certifies if there is on deposit in the Treasury of the United States of America, $1 in silver. There's the guy that's going to pay, right? Mm-hmm. Payable to the bearer. There's the guy that's going to be paid. On demand. There's your due date and the amounts on the corners. It is a true note. And it is a note from the banker to you because if you walk into the bank, put that on the counter, he has to give you an ounce of silver, be it 10 dimes, a silver dollar, whatever. But the banker has to pay you, okay? Now take our present note and try to find those four things on it. You won't. All you find is it says it's a note. In two places it says it's a note. They do find the amount on the corners, but that's all. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay. Consequently, our note is not a note. Isn't that fraud? No, because of a little trick called color of law. And if you look up color of law in Black's Law, it says that any official in his office can lie legally. So that's what they do on the note. And then when you look up the definition of Federal Reserve note, you will find it is an obligation of all the people of America. And you will find it is similar to the real note. So what is the real note? That's the guy who creates the money. And that's you and me, our credit card, for example. The money doesn't exist until you create it. You go borrow for a car. The money did not exist for that car until you signed your future labor away. Your pledge of future labor is the real money, and that's why we are a resource.
That's it.
Well
done. Absolutely. Isn't
that fascinating?
That is. Legal tender for all debts, public and private.
And that's what they're doing today. It, you know, we hear about the government spending all this money, spending here, spending there. They're and yet, what are they doing but just spending your labor? They're stealing your labor.
Exactly.
Because you work for something that you're not getting.
It used to be that they had to produce proof of that labor. For example, they used to take our birth certificates and sell them to other countries to pay debt. Seven guys sent in for theirs, originals, and four of them came back with stamps of all different countries on the back. Three of them they hadn't used.
Mm.
But it's fascinating how that works. But the main thing is how neatly they reversed the role of money. Where the banker used to owe us in a note, we now owe them in a note. So if they cancel the money, guess what happens? They don't owe you a dime. If you take that present Federal Reserve note to the banker, and what's he going to give you, four quarters? Okay, you take the quarters to a metallurgist, not a coin dealer.
Right.
And the metallurgist weighs it. Hmm, it's just a bunch of copper.
Yeah.
And it weighs X amount, and no, by today's market, it's worth 3 cents.
There you go.
And guess what he pays you with? Three pieces of zinc, copper-coated.
Yeah.
There's no money in our system.
There you have it.
So they can create all they want, anytime they want, and destroy anything they want. That's why they had to have the IRS. To destroy money.
Jim, would you leave your number at the board so I can contact you? Is that possible?
Sure.
Okay, leave your money with, leave your phone number. Leave your phone number with.
That.
Leave your phone number with Paul there, and I'll call you tonight.
Okay, I'll hang on.
Thank you, Jim.
You bet.
We'll be back with Darren Weeks to wrap it up, listeners. Very interesting broadcast today, wouldn't you say? We'll be back to continue and wrap it up. Stay with us. Oh, boy, we're just about out of time, listeners. And DarrenWeeks.net is the website, people. DarrenWeeks.net is his website. It's on our website, AmericanExpose.com. Keep in mind, Development Gateway, connect, collaborate, change your world. All about the implementation of non-governmental organizations implementing the UN agenda. Darren, we have one last caller. Do you have a parting shot, Darren, before we take our caller?
Well, you can go ahead and take your caller if you want.
Okay, we'll take the call. Joe in Pennsylvania, welcome to the broadcast, Joe.
Hey, Chris, how you doing? How you doing, Darren?
Good.
Late earlier, when you were talking to Joan Vian made a statement, you know, people support her, people support her, Chris, but here's the thing that I find the problem. The people who are awake and are aware are not worried about money. They're the ones that are trying to learn and try to educate people, and these people don't have lots of money. You know, what money they do have or what they... And yet they try to, you know, give out CDs, tapes, and so forth to try to educate the other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem that we have. The people who are worried about money don't care about this stuff because they think it's never going to affect them, and they're not awake.
Well, that's our job to turn that around. But I understand your point.
You know, you know what I do for a living, and the other day I spoke an hour and a half with a policeman, and he thanked me when I was done. I got a note from a public school high school teacher of 33 years. He thanks me for teaching him about history and stuff like that. But, I mean, people have to try to educate the people that they can and the ones they can reach and not worry about the ones who really don't care.
Right. Good point.
That's all I wanted to say, Chris.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, bye.
Appreciate it.
And that's why this alternative media is so important, in my opinion.
And very, very well stated. And the fact of the matter is they're going to go after us in one way or the other to shut us up. And so that's why we have to continue with our mission to wake up our country and the very perils of Agenda 21 that's everywhere around us. Correct, Darren?
Oh, absolutely. Agenda 21 is the global planners' effort to cage humanity, you know, even as they set the animals free.
It'll be like us in the cages, the animals looking in at us in the cages.
Exactly. I think it's important to note, and I'm sure you've read this quote before, but Daniel Sitars, who was an environmental activist, attorney, and he's the editor of the United Nations-approved abridged version of Agenda 21, he says about the document, effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of all human society, unlike anything the world has ever experienced. A major shift, he says, in the priorities of both governments and individuals, and an unprecedented redeployment of human and financial resources. This shift will demand that a concern for the environment, the environmental consequences of every human action, be integrated into individual and collective decision-making at every level. There are specific actions which are intended to be undertaken by multinational corporations, by entrepreneurs, by financial institutions and individual investors, by high-tech companies and indigenous people, by workers and labor unions, by farmers and consumers, by students and schools, by government and legislators, by scientists, by women, by children, in short, by every person on earth. Now, does that sound a little bit revolutionary?
Totally.
And people think that we're talking about Agenda 21 too much?
Good point, Darren. Very good point. Thank you for being with me today. Darren
My pleasure.
DarrenWeeks.net is the website, listeners. Stay tuned for John Stadmiller. We continue to do our best on this network. Support them at 800-724-2719. Good afternoon, and God bless you all. Call you in a minute, Darren. I'm going to go to the hospital.